Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Well, from talking about vehicles, we shift now to talk about properties and speaking to one of the leading REITs, that's Real Estate Investment Trusts in South Africa, Vukile Property Fund. Next time you are down in KZN and you happen to go to workshop, the shopping center there, KwaMashu, Phoenix Plaza, if you're in Cape Town at Gugulethu Square, or even up here in Johannesburg and you go past Dobsonville Mall, these are all shopping centers that are essentially owned by Vukile Property Fund. They've also extended their asset base to markets like Spain and Portugal. And we're going to get some insight into the growth that they've witnessed in the last financial year. To help us unpack these numbers further is the CEO of Vukile Property Fund, Lawrence Rapp. Such a pleasure to speak to you again, sir.
Thank you, Dodo. How are you keeping?
Oh, keeping incredibly well. Congratulations on the earnings. It seems as though you've had a much better year than many on the back of, I guess, some shifts in the local dynamics. Let's start off with SA operations and some levers that have really worked off in your favor.
Absolutely. It's certainly been a far more encouraging macro picture over the last few months. Operationally, the business has continued to really deliver superbly. Vacancies are well contained below 2%. We've had another period of positive rental reversions with around 85% of leases reverting positively or flat. And, you know, good growth in trading density. So all in all, the portfolio is in very good health. We've also done a tremendous amount of work on energy management in terms of expanding our PV plant, and that is also contributing to the very good numbers. So really, you know, we're very upbeat through a combination of the strong operating performance that we've seen over the last number of years continuing into the 6 months, but all of a sudden the macroeconomic environment is looking and feeling a whole lot better and healthier.
Yeah.
And I think if we get sort of some tailwinds, together with that strong operating performance, we should see some really healthy growth going forward.
I want us to wrap up with that optimism when we get to the end of this conversation, but let's go into some of the investments you made locally, especially when it comes to those the PV rollout, increased capacity that you have with 28 existing plants that are now providing additional power and, of course, water management efficiency. Help us contextualize what this means, not only in terms of the experience that tenants and shoppers will have within your assets and properties, but also what it means in terms of the cost savings. So on the back of the fact that we haven't had load shedding in, what, over 3 months now, 4 months, what has that meant in terms of some of the benefit or in terms of cost savings you've witnessed?
Well, I think there are two issues. One is exactly as you're saying, that, you know, the cost of diesel, you know, is no longer an issue. But more importantly, when you are generating now 20% of the electricity used in the portfolio ourselves, we produce that at a much cheaper cost than if we're buying it from Eskom.
Mm-hmm.
So that builds up quite a healthy margin, you know, for us. And we'll be expanding that. So I think we'll be able to generate around 30 to 33% of the energy in the portfolio off our own roofs going forward. So it's been a tremendously, you know, profitable and positive impact for us. For our consumers, it means, you know, that they, again, in a load-shedding world, get to experience life always on, which is important. That's been less of an issue, obviously, since load-shedding has diminished. It really is more about the cost saving and, obviously, the environmental benefits of, you know, of generating green energy. And on the water front, you know, we've tried to make the portfolio far more self-sufficient. Obviously, it's a deep concern in terms of the water infrastructure. I guess we've always taken the view in Vukile, you know, it's pointless complaining about these issues, rather come up with strategies to fix them. And that's what we've done. So we've got backup water in almost all of our assets and are able to operate quite independently in many instances, you know, of the national water framework. So, you know, that's been very positive for us.
This is quite significant, and as you also highlight in your numbers, you are also looking to expand in terms of refurbishments. So there's capital allocation as well to improve, I guess, the quality of the experience within your shopping malls. Help us understand what this looks like. Safety, security, how it benefits your tenants as well.
Sure. I think the whole Vukile model is about making our centres the heart and soul of the communities that we operate in, and that's sort of understanding what all those needs are. And that includes a safe, secure environment, it, you know, secure. It includes, you know, clean bathrooms, access to water, light, and it obviously includes a great shopping experience. All of those add together. But for us, you know, dealing with these issues is all driven, if you like, by the central theme of customer centricity and making sure that our malls are the most attractive and the most welcoming to customers, because the more they frequent us, the longer they spend there, the more they spend, that's great for our tenants. They trade really well, and that obviously then adds overall to our profitability and shareholders' benefit, and that's really what you're seeing in our strategy coming through.
Given the advent of, I guess, e-commerce, if we look at ShopRite and Checkers 6060 and a few other retailers also driving online deliveries, is this playing any influence on your tenant mix or what your tenants now require from you as a landlord? And I'm also intrigued because your shopping centres are also largely based in our townships where online shopping, especially for groceries, might not be as popular as, I guess, there's safety concerns that are typically highlighted by some of these entities here. So is that, I guess, an influence at all in your operations?
You know, I think the debate around online shopping has sort of, you know, moved into a far more pragmatic space. Of a couple of years ago, it was an either-or type of debate. You either shop online or offline. And I think everyone's come to realize now that it's about an omni-channel strategy. And it's about sort of driving that integration between stores. So if you look at the success, for example, of a shop like Checkers 6060, et cetera, all of those really are being fulfilled from stores. So that online strategy can only work if you've got a ubiquitous store footprint throughout the country. And that is what, you know, I think augurs well, you know, for physical retail. And therefore, from a retailer's point of view, you're able to use your physical space for two channels, yep, physical and direct. So, you know, we see it as a positive, a positive advent. I think it adds to our growth and to the overall appeal.
100%. Let's talk Spain. Boy, oh boy, is there a lot of excitement around here. Not only a significant, strong financial performance we've seen out of your assets there, but also a particular acquisition that you'd also like to participate in. Then we'll talk Portugal. But you've been very busy, it seems, in this market here. Lawrence?
It's been a busy year, absolutely. look, we've been in Spain now for about 7 or so years. We've built ourselves into one of the largest retail landlords in Spain. What we were doing is, in fact, transitioning from selling out of our investment in La España, which has been a very, very successful transaction for us, generating an IRR, you know, in excess of around 40% in euros over a 2.5-year period. We're making about a 70 million euro profit on that transaction. And the plan was to recycle that capital into buying a shopping center in Valencia. Unfortunately, that center got impacted by the flooding of a few weeks back, and we have decided to postpone the deal so we can assess the damage. Fortunately, the news flow has been a lot better than expected, and you know, we are hoping to still be able to move forward on the transaction, you know, over the next few months. So that is a real cracker of an asset, and will be a great addition to the portfolio. And in addition to that, you know, there are many other assets that we, you know, are exposed to. And I think there is still very healthy growth ahead in Spain. But the immediate opportunity is this particular asset in Valencia. And as I said, hopefully that will still happen in this current financial year.
Other than Portugal and Spain, are there still other international European markets you'd like to tap into?
So it's a great question. Look, I think the way that we are reviewing it and thinking about it is where we're putting our efforts proactively, as in looking for opportunities, are only in Spain and Portugal. But from a reactive point of view, obviously we stay very close to the markets. We get shown a lot of opportunities. So reactively, we will look at opportunities when they come along. I think that will be confined to Western Europe. But that will sort of be very, you know, a lot more opportunistic. As in, when we wake up every morning, the effort you're going to put into finding deals proactively, that could be contained to Spain, Portugal, and South Africa. But as deal flow comes in, we always are evaluating transactions. And if anything interesting comes along, we would certainly be prepared to evaluate it and see if there is an angle for us.
Got you. To close off with, let's talk about the optimism we see in South Africa, Lawrence. It's been a while since we've heard CEOs and executives like yourselves really highlighting some of the refreshing perspectives we see in South Africa, other than just resilience. Oh, it almost feels as though the heavy load is lightening. Highlight for us, you know, what keeps you optimistic about South Africa and even the international markets that you happen to be in as we paint a picture of your outlook for 2025.
Look, I think importantly for us, we're a consumer-driven business, so a decrease in interest rate cycle is something that is very positive for us in both South Africa and Spain and Portugal. I think we've seen a very healthy consumer in Spain and Portugal. You look at debt levels, you look at saving levels, and those are all sort of really pointing to sustained growth going forward. I think in South Africa, there is enthusiasm around sort of a little bit more political stability. I certainly hope the politicians understand the positive environment that they've created through the GNU and that we're starting to see capital flows and that they don't do anything in a very narrow political sense that destabilizes that positivity. They really should, you know, take all the credit for having created this environment, and hopefully that will last. Having said that, we need to see that optimism turn into delivery on the ground. And that is what we now need to see. So in our particular industry, it's far better service delivery at local government. You know, electricity, I think, we've solved through the PV issue. Water has to, has to improve. And I think we've just got to see better value for money for the rates and taxes that we're paying. But overall, the consumer has got an optimism. Interest rates are coming down. I think that typically is going to take a year or so to filter into spending. I think money coming out of the two-pot system is going to add further impetus to spending. So all in all, I think, you know, the next 6 months, the next 18 months should hold up, you know, and be very strong from a consumer point of view.
Fantastic. Lawrence, such a pleasure speaking to you, sir. Really appreciate your time and all the best for the year ahead.
Pleasure. Thank you, Gugu. All the best.
Thank you. Take care. That's
Lawrence
Rapp, the CEO of Vukile Property Fund, there giving us some insight into their numbers. So next time you actually are in their shopping malls, I think this is so important. It gives you a better context and an understanding as to how you experience the shopping mall. We've been told that water is a great threat, right? And the next concern we should be worried about post-load shedding. And it will be very intriguing for you next time you go into the ablution facilities. Perhaps you are a tenant at a shopping mall, that you just monitor some of the investments that have been made by the land lords to make sure that your experience is a lot more comfortable. The tenants who are there, you know, just take a look at who's actually occupying space. Where are you spending your money? And of course, just even how the whole ecosystem, lighting, parking, the experience of entering and exiting the shopping mall plays a role in your experience. So from Vukile's property fund's point of view, they own the likes of Guguletu Square in Cape Town, Atlantis Shopping Center. Here in Johannesburg, next time you're at Daveyton Shopping Center, Dobsonville, East Rand Mall, Hillfox, even the likes of what we see at Midrand Boulder Center. These are all shopping centers that are owned by Vukile Properties. So gives you a different perspective in understanding the kind of assets they own and the experience that they curate for us as South Africans.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.